Paul is in jail. Again. Those in power don't like the story he tells, the life he offers, the future he envisions. Paul is all hyped up about this Jesus who didn't stay dead when the powers and principalities of his day sought to stop his invitation to love, to transform, to welcome, to care for the vulnerable. Paul is all excited about this God who created and is creating. He is all about life. And he commits his life to shaping a people who live in the world, trusting in God's love, embracing Jesus' inclusion, while uniting in community and deep connection. Paul is in on it, and his passion and action tend to create two very different responses: those who resist and those who join in. So one result from Paul and his passion is fear, angst, threatened. That's what's happening with those that are in charge and who hold the purse strings and the power levers in his day. This passionate Apostle Paul is on the move to share God's love and create churches that are both transformed by that love and transforming the world with that love. He is on the move, covering the bases and showing up in the places of prestige and import in his day. Corinth, Thessalonica. I couldn't say the names before, however will I do this now. Corinth, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Colossae, Galatia, Rome, Syracuse, Athens, Malta, Cyprus, Crete, Athens, Syracuse, Jerusalem. All over the place. No GPS. No fast trains, maybe a donkey, and lots of step-by-step and ocean travel with all the storms and choppiness that brings. He is on the move and active in spreading the word, telling of the love, making known the God who brought him to the fullness of life. He is committed to planting churches to assure that the love, grace, hope, way of being is present and available for all. I imagine that late night comedians would have had a heyday with Paul. In the post-apocryphal writings, Paul is described as bald-headed, bow-legged, strongly built, a man small in size with meeting eyebrows and a rather large nose. So combine that physical description to a man who, despite threats, prison sentences, storms at sea, great resistance and ridicule, continues to preach and proclaim the grace of God, active and accessible to all. So I imagine these comedy clips going viral with both comedic ridicule and the yearning for what this goofy, driven man offers. For he is ministering in the midst of a violent, oppressive time. Pax Romana, peace of Rome. Peace that is the absence of conflict, because Rome snuffs out anyone who has a different opinion. Peace that is maintained, because Rome extorts taxes at exorbitant levels. Peace that is spreading, because Rome conquers and occupies. In that reality, Paul speaks of grace, acceptance, possibility, inclusion. Words of hope that are salve to the wounds of the people. He makes the grace of God real and available. There is energy bubbling up and churches being formed. People are responding and acting. So on the one hand, I see the comedians having fun with this quirky, odd-looking man who creates a powerful stir and creates communities who are committed to the way of Jesus and the worship of God, not Caesar. And on the other hand, I see the powerful getting irked. Really? Now, Paul? Didn't he see what happened to Jesus? We can't have charismatic, God-centered people out on the loose telling the masses that they are loved, that they are welcome, that they have a voice, that justice looks different from the militaristic, conquering, and controlling model at which we excel. We can't have communities being formed that are generous and providing for the vulnerable. We can't say that all are welcome. That would rearrange the status quo that has been painstakingly developed to maintain power, privilege, and access for the special few. It can't happen. Not on our watch. We need to stop this man, silence him, and stop the movement. Jail him, contain him, limit his access to others. Jail him. That's what they did. Imprisonment might prevent physical movement and appearances, but as we know from Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King Jr., imprisonment can be the setting from which world-changing letters are written. Those two had Paul as an example. Behind bars, he writes to the church in Ephesus. The past 2 weeks, we heard him wax on about the healing, transforming, renewing power of grace and the new life offered in Christ. Life that conforms to the law of love over and above any human-created laws, restricting or harmful when they are. And with this week's reading, he makes a switch from declaring the gift and wonder of grace abundant and free to a conversation about the church, about the community that will make visible and real this grace so that others can experience God's love. Jesus' physical body is gone, and it is now the church that will make visible and real the way of Jesus and the love of God. Frederick Buechner writes about it this way in his book, Wishful Thinking. God was making a body for Christ, Paul said. Christ didn't have a regular body anymore. So God was making him one out of anybody he could find who looked as if he or she might just possibly do. He was using other people's hands to be Christ's hand, and other people's feet to be Christ's feet. And when there was some place where Christ was needed in a hurry and needed bad, he put the finger on some maybe not all that innocent bystander and got that person to go and be Christ in that place for lack of anybody better. Christ's to each other. Christ's to God. All of us. Finally, it was just as easy and just as hard as all of that. Paul was restrained in prison, but the power and life of God would not be constrained. Just as the brutal murder on a cross didn't stop the love of Jesus, the muscle of the empire couldn't stop the church. You create it, you live it, you embrace it, says Paul. It's needed now, really needed. And you know what's going to make it flourish and shine? What each of you bring to it. Your unique selves, your unique gifts, offered into the mix of others' unique gifts and unique selves. Share the image that Jim Smith shared with us. It's each of us come of our own grade of sandpaper and bring to the mix what that grade of sandpaper is needed. Sisters and brothers, the need for the church, the need for a community of people that trust in the love of God and seek to share it, the need for the radical welcome of Jesus to be felt, the need for care of the vulnerable, this is as urgent today as it was then, perhaps even more so. Paul's words are to us now. Paul's invitation is to us now. We are sought out. We are needed. We are part of the peculiar people who commit themselves to making love and justice and peace tangible in the here and now, not to have them be abstract ideas or possibilities reserved for a select few. Look around. Look at the variety we have gathered. Look at the differences here. The people who are so excited that we are finally putting the weather vane on the steeple, and the people who want that money to go for something very different. The people who are vets and those who are pacifists. The people who vote red and the people who vote blue. The people who run marathons and the people who revel in Shavasana. The addicted and those in recovery. We are all over the map. We come with our unique selves and our unique perspectives. This is gift, and this is challenge. Paul says it's more gift, though. God's vision is for unity in diversity. It's about working for the kingdom using our wide variety of gifts, not creating a community of conformity. It's about creating a proverbial fruit salad with a variety of components, each bringing its own flavor, color, texture, shape to the mix, not dumping us all in a blender and creating a smoothie. It's about recognizing the other and what the other brings to the mix, and how the other also challenges us and what we thought might be. It's about finding out how we meld in and complement and enhance the community. It's a beautiful and spirit-filled cacophony. That is the church which Paul was encouraging and envisioning from his prison cell. When he was isolated, when he was oppressed, when his future was limited, he called out to us to make God's hope and love real in the world. Do you think there are folks that need that today? And that God will still give the church all that it needs. And that you have a unique and vital place in creating that community. Amen.